Blog Talk Radio.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.
Good evening, everyone. That is a public service announcement for NASGA, National Association to Stop Guardianship Abuse. We thank them for letting us use their commercial. Anyway, good evening once again, everyone. Today is February 10th, 2021. You're listening to Face Us Radio, Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk. The Inside Scoop. I am Luann Fleming, and I am with my other co-host tonight, Robin Austin, and let me bring him live in here. Let me see if he's on here. Hold on a second. I haven't got him clicked on here yet. Robin, are you with us?
Yes, hello.
Hey. Hope you're doing well. We have Hillary Hogue with us. She's also with us. Hillary Hogue, say hello to everyone.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in on this Wednesday evening in February to listen to my new friend. And again, one thing that was said to my father when he was in guardianship, you know, one of the only good things about guardianship is you meet a lot of nice people. And I have. Everyone on this show, I am lucky to call my friend. Allie Carino is one of them, and she is fighting a good fight on behalf of her mother and getting her out of guardianship. And the specifics of Mrs. Carino's case are horrendous. So thank you for listening.
Yeah. Right. Yes, from what I heard, it's horrendous. Anyway, we're going to get to that in just a bit. Marcy Friedman is usually one of our co-hosts as well. She comes on periodically, and so her mother is also in guardianship, so she's been working on trying to get to see her mother after like 3 years, so or get her back, you know, so let's keep her in our prayers. And she might join us later. I'm not sure yet. Anyway, we have a full radio show tonight. I've just looked at my boards. So please try not to speak over anyone as our radio shows are recorded and they're archived. And we will be taking calls from our callers in about, 35, 40 minutes. And to do that, you call this number, 845-241-9962. You press a 1, and that will let me know that you have a question or a comment. And, boy, I tell you what, there is so much going on in Colorado, I can't even tell you. I think we hit the jackpot lately, to tell you the truth, about our court. Anyway, there's a big scandal going on at the Supreme Court I want to talk about just quickly here. It was about a $2.5 million payout stops a sex discrimination lawsuit that the Supreme Court justices, I kid you, went ahead and okayed for this lady to shut her mouth. So now we have like 10, 15 articles coming out in every single newspaper. The Judicial Integrity Project has been involved with Chris Forsythe. We've been trying to bring this Forsythe whole issue with the Judicial Integrity Project, oh my gosh, for like 7 years. So he was put on the news today, and people have been sending me nonstop information constantly about what's going on with this. And then today we also had one of our advocates, with Face Us, did a speech in front of the Supreme Court about the probate hypocrites, I should call them, the probate pirates or whatever they are, about what they've done to our families. And we've been in front of the Supreme Court numerous times. I mean, we've been there, I can't even tell you how many times Robin Austin and I've done speeches. We've got Chris Forsythe down there, Peter Coulter, and even Marilyn, I think she did another one, but she was on there today did a fantastic job talking about what happens in a probate court. So she did an awesome job. I just wanted to put that out. So I'll keep everybody informed about what's happening in Colorado, but I think for the first time we're actually turning the corner to where someone's going to be listening to us, because there's a lot going on, and I'll be presenting a lot of our cases to this David McGoy. He's on the news stations as well. So I wanted to get that out there. So if anybody wants to follow us, you can find us, you know, us at Families Against Court Embezzlement Unethical Standards. We're up on Facebook. It's called Face Us. So you can find us on there. You can hit like or whatever. And you can also go to the Hidden Truth Revealed channel on Blog Talk Radio and hit follow. That will remind you of our radio shows coming on. Also, we also have a Michigan Probate Court, Michigan Probate Radio. We have that going on, I think, Monday night as well. Very good people on there, advocates that are working to expose Michigan. So if anybody wants another radio channel for their state, let me know. I can put you up onto our radio platform, and you can become your own radio show host of your state. So anyway, we might be doing that in Colorado. I'm not sure yet. So Colorado Radio Probate, I'm thinking about it. We might. I don't know yet. Anyway, I'm so glad everyone's joining us tonight. Anyway, I want to tell you a little bit about our guest and the story that she's going to be talking about on our radio show tonight with our radio show hosts, Robin Austin and Hillary Hoag. Anyway, tonight our guest is Allie Carino. Her mother, Dorothy Carino, has been in guardianship since 11/15/2018. She was thrown into lockdown on 2/6/2019. She has an ankle monitor she must wear in Trumbull County, Ohio. Allie said, "This is a small town, and these people focus on quantity, not quality, for guardianship. It's the same people that get the court-appointed guardianships over and over and brings mom. They make an income. Her mom makes an income of $4,000, which is a steady income for these people. So that's one reason we've been finding out why this happens in our probate court is because these people are after the money. So they have to take control of the person to get the money. So this is what's going on in the probate court. Anyway, according to Allie, there was a judge named Tom Swift of Trumbull County, Ohio. She returns the ward Dorothy Carino back to COVID and a neglectful nursing home after she almost died from sepsis instead of letting her be cared by her loving and caring daughter. Her mom's longtime doctor is one that pushed her for guardianship, and Allie said she does not need a guardianship, so why not let her go home? And that's a big, huge question that we're going to be asking her tonight and all the other advocates that are joining us. So let's go ahead and see if we can bring – Hillary, do you have anything you want to talk about, or Robin, before we bring on our guest?
Just, you know, the usual, just corruption. I was kind of complimented today in a court proceeding in Pinellas County. It was kind of like a bench trial with a guardianship, just really devastating. I won't go into the details, but my name was brought up a few times as the anti-guardianship person, Hillary Hoag, and the person that was being terrorized on the stand said to the corrupt attorney, Tom Tripp, she's not anti-guardianship, she's anti-everything that guardianship stands for. She's for the elderly staying with their loved ones and not going into facilities and being under the control of complete strangers, all for liquidating their estate. So quite nice that they know who I am, and in turn they know who all of us are. So that's what I'll say tonight.
Yeah, that's really good. And, you know, and to tell you the truth, Hillary, it's people that get up and speak out about what's going on. And I really do think that we can never stop doing this, because there's so many families being thrown into guardianship. I get so many phone calls constantly about how families are being put in there nonstop. And it's just frightening to know that knock could come on your door any day for you. And that's the frightening part, because we are the next generation, you know, and it's like, And they've taken our moms and our dads, and oh my gosh, this is so frightening. Robin, do you have anything you want to say before we start the show?
You know, I have a lot to say, but I'd rather get to the show because the subject matter that we deal with is so it is what it is, and you and I know what that is. Hillary knows what that is, and it's really important that people hear these stories. They've heard me talk before if they've tuned in before, and I will have a few things to say later on. But let's get on with the show.
Okay, that sounds good. So let's go ahead and bring Allie in. Let me see if I can find you on here. Okay, here's this Allie. Okay, Allie, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Good. Oh, yeah. Thank you for coming on. And I know this is a really hard time for you, but we wanted to basically talk to you about your mother and how long she's been in guardianship and why she was taken and what's the motive behind them taking her. So can you kind of like start us off from the very beginning and talk about what you can and what you can, and don't have to talk about what you can't, but go ahead and fill us in. And is your mother, she's alive right now too, right?
Yeah, she's alive, thankfully. So basically, you know, the catalyst was a family member that took us in front of the court system. But the doctor, my mom's longtime doctor, is the one that suggested guardianship. So later found out that he's the on-staff doctor for this nursing home and the medical director also. So there's kind of a conflict of interest there, I believe. So we went to the courts. My mom did not get due process. She immediately was thrown into guardianship. Basically, I had durable power of attorney. I did take it to my mom's doctor, and he just completely disregarded it and said, "Oh, we can't take that because it's your mom's incompetent." Even though I had it filed through the courts. And I have an affidavit from that attorney that drew up the durable power of attorney who knew my mom. He's known my mom for at least 40 years also. And he said she is not incompetent. She was competent to know what she was doing. So that her directive, that should not have been ignored. So, you know, fast forward to October 20th of 2020, my mom was rushed to the hospital. They said that she had had a stroke. And but here she didn't have a stroke. She had sepsis caused by a neglected urinary tract infection. And she was covered in feces and vomit, and she was vomiting. And you know, it was very upsetting to read the notes that the hospital notes, the EMTs found her in that condition. And my attorney filed an emergency. We had already had a court hearing set for October 26th, but he added an additional emergency motion to that and trying to save my mom from going back there. But they put her back there, and she's still there, and they won't let me care for her. The judge ordered another guardian to be over my mom and do an independent evaluation. So right now, my attorney recently filed a motion for me to be my mom's guardian and for the current guardians to be removed. Again, even though Judge Swift removed them, but then he sent 2 days later, he sent a documentation saying, "Oh, that was erroneous. I didn't mean to remove the current guardians. I meant to add another guardian for your mom," which she should have had her due process and had her own attorney and an independent evaluation prior to even being put into guardianship. So that's where we're at right now.
Wow. So you talk a little bit about how your mother has or had an ankle brace, a monitor. I put pictures up on the story, and I was just so shocked that she had an ankle monitor on. I mean, You know, even our prisoners. I'm so irritated at this whole fact. What happened? How did that happen?
I've never heard of anything like that before in my
life. I know. Me neither. Yeah, it was. I was really upset to see that. Right, that happened right off the raid when she was put in there. So, if she went past a certain point, an alarm would go off. You know, and she was put into that lockdown facility. She was able to walk with a walker. They wouldn't let her get up. You know, they would yell at these people if they got up, made them sit down. They break you down. You know, they break you down with medicines. There was a time where I went in and she was over-medicated, and I filed a complaint through the Ohio Department of Health, and in retaliation, they added 3 Ativan to my mom's medication list. So it was, and every single complaint that I filed, including the one about the sepsis and her being covered in vomit and feces and having adult diaper rash from being exposed to urine and feces all the time, was unsubstantiated. So that's a whole nother realm of, you know, disgust to this whole system.
And it's hard to talk about, you know, it's hard to, you know, it's a very private, personal thing with your mother. It's very hard to even talk about the specifics, and we are grateful that you're telling the truth, and the thought of a monitor on your mother's ankle, even if it was for 1 hour, let alone however long it was. And if I could just say one thing, Allie's fiance unfortunately passed away, and Allie was given guardianship of who?
His daughter. She's 15.
Right.
And I do have the backing of the both maternal and paternal grandparents. They think very highly of me. So why can't I be my mother's guardian? That makes no sense.
You're good enough, right? You're good enough to be the guardian of a 15-year-old, right?
That really is
your fiance's, you know, daughter. No blood relation, but still in all. After that, it's a big responsibility that's not taken lightly, I'm sure. You cannot take your mother home with you
and
be her guardian. I mean, it's insane.
I always helped my mom. You know, I was going over there. Rick and I were both going over there and helping her with the dishes and things. And I would assist her with a bath, you know. And, you know, the catalyst for this whole thing lived upstairs. So it turned, you know, into a hostile environment over there. But we went anyway. And Rick, you know, the person that was upstairs set us up and had charges put on both Rick and I. And we had never had any issues with the law. Like, I've never had any issues with the law, but 2 days prior to our hearing, she dropped the charges. So to me, that was unforgivable, to put him through that and my mom through that. Like, they made me leave the house and I wasn't allowed to help her with a bath. You know, it's just ridiculous.
It's humiliating.
The whole thing has been ridiculous. Yeah, it's been appalling. Like, it's just appalling. It should never be like this. So back to the ankle bracelet.
Yeah, I'm so curious about the ankle bracelet, because I know my husband had one when he was in a tanker accident one time, and he had an ankle bracelet on, and they kept, you know, dabs of him everywhere he went, no matter where it was. But I don't understand it. In guardianship, and your mother has a walker, what the hell are these people thinking? I mean, I'm still trying to.
I don't know, but
I saw a picture of the ankle on there, and why? Why is this? Okay, tell me, explain that.
Yeah, I don't know why it was, but in my opinion, it was to protect their asset, and my mom, in their eyes, is an asset. I don't know if they thought she couldn't escape, because she's in a wheelchair, and a lot of times that when her legs would swell, that would be very tight around her ankle. Why not take it off? You know, that's just adding to her torture to me, in my eyes. It was totally unnecessary to put that on her like a prisoner.
I'm just shocked over this whole story that we bring on this radio show, because I've heard of, you know, people being in lockdowns and people being, you know, with the bars on the windows, like Shelley Thompson and some other Jan Garwood and some other stories that came onto our stories. But an ankle bracelet, oh my God. I mean, Robin, you help me out with this. I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, the thing that I want to say is that the to place an ankle bracelet on someone in a situation like this is partly to feed and create and promote the illusion that this person is incapacitated. Because if they have their faculties, then the whole thing is a scam. And that's really how it rolls out. If you think about it, a person with their faculties, able to conduct their life with help from the loved ones around them, has no need for guardianship, has no need for institutionalization, has no need for any of these things. And so if they're going to take a person who has no need for any of those things, then they develop a strategy where they create an illusion which they present to a court. And, of course, the court is, I sincerely believe, that the vast majority or all the time, the court is pretty much aware that there are illusions that are coming up and being created for them. Because I think that the whole thing is fed by a pipeline of money that's coming out of your mother, for instance. She's one of dozens and hundreds and thousands and probably millions worldwide of people who are imprisoned because they can be robbed. They can take that person's income, convert it to their own, spend $500 a month on the actual services and care that they're giving to this person, including all the foods. The medicines, of course, are compensated by government programs that are in alignment with and cahoots with big pharmaceutical companies, so that these nursing homes receive big kickbacks for each drug that they put these people on. And the pharmaceutical companies are able to finance this because our government wants to look after our disabled citizens and our incapacitated citizens. So it makes it possible for the government to pay for the drugs. So what this becomes then is an asset that's not just worth $4,000 a month, but an asset that's worth much, much more because of all the kickbacks that they get from all the drugs that they put them on. And they basically reduce the cost of caring for this person to the point where they have to put them in adult diapers so that they can clean up a lot less after them. And then they neglect to change those diapers because that requires someone to attend to them, and you have to pay someone to do that. So all of this is a big money-making scam that gets pulled up to make millions and millions and millions of dollars every year off of torturing and off of incarcerating, torturing, and killing individuals, whether intentionally with a drug cocktail that robs them of life in just an hour or two, or whether supposedly unintentionally by what happens as a result of, you may not stand up, you may not walk around, you may not, you may not move out of that chair, and we're giving you a cocktail of dozens of drugs, and oops, darn, you got sick. Oh, darn. Well, we lost another one, but you know what that means?
Yeah.
It means we just opened up a bed for the next one. And this is the scam that's running, and this is the scam that your mother has fallen prey to, and that thousands fall prey to every day, all across the state of Colorado, all across the nation of the United States of America, and all across the world, as we've heard from our associates in various countries. So this is what's going on, and this is what we're addressing on tonight's broadcast. I want people to understand this is a tyranny that is imposed on people that they don't ask for, that they don't deserve, that there's no, this is not a person who committed a crime. This is not a person who did something wrong. This is a person who was visible as someone that could be converted into an asset of certain criminal elements that have taken over the judicial branch of our government in many cases and are using it to fund their activities as a crime ring of co-opting people's lives, taking those lives away, locking those people up, soaking them for everything they've got, taking all the money of all the relatives who try to defend them in a corrupt court system that pretends like it's going to help and then doesn't. And so we wind up in the situation that we're in today. And then at certain points in time, the truth will out. And the Colorado judiciary, for one, in the past week or so, has come out, has been exposed for the corrupt and ruined version of so-called justice that they pretend to provide, when in fact they're just running a big criminal organization.
Right, and it's been exposed. This week it just all came out, and it is really nasty. I mean, this has turned this town, Colorado, completely upside down, and I'm really grateful that it's really come to this. You know, and well said, Robin. I mean, everything that we've talked about on the show is real-life experiences, and, you know, none of us are attorneys. None of us act like attorneys. None of us. This is real-life experiences that we have gone through, you know, and it's a freedom of speech that we're able to sit here and talk about this today. And so that's another thing I want to talk about is, have you, Allie, in the whole time you've been doing this, have you sat down and do you have an attorney? I mean, and how much money have you spent on attorneys? I mean, usually when you get an attorney, they spend funds just as fast.
The attorney that I have now is he has been fighting the same corruption that we all are in, you know, have fought for about 25 years. So he gets it. He hasn't charged me a whole lot. I probably have paid about $5,000, which is minuscule compared to what a lot of people have paid.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So he is very fair, and he wants to rid this corruption as well. So I was thankful for him and all that he's doing.
Allie, let me interrupt you respectfully. How did you find this attorney? That's unheard of that he's fighting for you.
Yeah, another member of the Ohio Coalition to End Probate Corruption is a friend of mine. We met through all this, you know, through Trumbull County and the corruption.
Uh-huh.
And she referred me to him. So, you know, I had been looking for, I had seen several attorneys, and I even paid the one some money. My cousin helped me, was trying to help me find an attorney, and that's how I found the one I have now. But I do want to talk about the ankle bracelet. I just want to say one thing about that.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the Ohio Coalition to End Probate Corruption, on my mother's behalf, wrote to the nursing homeowner, to the guardians, and were pleading for her compassionate release. Okay, so the response that we got from the nursing homeowner says, please be assured that in the 31 years that Windsor House Incorporated has been in business, that we have never used ankle tracking monitors or shackles in our facilities. In the future, I hope that you will research the facts before firing off such allegations. So then in response to that, a photo was sent to the nursing home owner, and his response was, either the photos you sent me were not taken in our facility or you violated HIPAA. You are in over your head. Please leave this to the professionals. And so the arrogance and the complete disregard for my mom or her well-being is just disgusting to me. And I was embarrassed to that was the response. I was embarrassed for him to be that way to these people that are trying to help my mom. It was just appalling to me that he treated them that way.
Yeah.
To lie to your face, to just lie to your face, bald face lie right in your face. And too bad, what are you going to do about it? Is their attitude.
It's so horrible.
Yeah,
so
there's
horrible
other comments too. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, there were other nasty comments, but that was the one directly in reference to the photograph that was legitimately on my mom in his facility. So it's just, I just had to mention that.
Wow, it's just so shocking. I mean, for them to even tell you that, I don't even know if I could keep a straight face. I mean, I'd just be so angry. You know, I can't even imagine my mother would have had one of those in the first place. I just can't imagine them putting that on anybody, be it that's an elder person or a disabled person. I just don't get it. I'm still trying to gather this.
Their excuse was they were a wanderer, and they didn't want them to get outside and be, you know, harmed outside. That was their excuse. But to me, there's no excuse because my mom was not a wanderer. But what were you going to say, Robin?
You know, honestly,
I was going to say that apparently.
Hold on a second, Robin. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, I was going to say apparently the director of the facility doesn't believe in using ankle monitors on people in his facility either.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh my gosh. Hillary, go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say it's just a disgrace. Anything or any guardian or attorney activity law when they say, you know, Jane Smith is an elopement risk. Well, you know what? Where are they? In other words, they're a flight risk. Where are they trying to go? They're trying to go with their family. You know? It's just so upsetting.
Right.
So upsetting.
Right. They are prisoners against their will with no crime, and they're trying to escape their imprisonment. And that's a perfectly rational, reasonable, absolutely sane response to being locked up against your will with no recourse, held against your will, and watching your family squirm. You're mm-hmm. being tortured every day. You know, it's a perfectly rational response to say, how the hell am I going to get out of here? And, of course, to prevent those people from leaving that facility, they'll take whatever steps are necessary because that's their property, according to the
mm-hmm.
law. That's the way it is.
Right. And you know something? If you look, you know, the I Care A Lot, I think, is the title of the Netflix movie that's coming out.
Ah,
I want to say the 19th. I watch the trailer every day. I cannot wait. It's really a sad connotation on my life, but I'm so into anything on guardianship. And one of the scenes where they, you know, they span into the assisted living facility and you see the woman turn around and the guardian automatically puts her arm out to block her from leaving.
Yeah.
And
I can't watch that easy. When is that coming out, Hillary? Do you know?
I think it's
February
19th.
Oh, February 19th?
Yes.
Yeah, and can I say something, Luann?
Go ahead.
My mom, almost every single time I see her or talk to her on the phone, she wants out of there. She doesn't like it there. She wants to go home. That's all she ever says, and it's so heartbreaking every single time. And I know a lot of times that's normal for people that, you know, sometimes they don't have anyone to care for them at home and they have to be there, but there's no reason for it. And it's just so infuriating and heartbreaking every time I hear my mom say that. It's terrible.
Yeah, I can just imagine. I knew that my mother was kind of like that too, and she just, you know, she wanted to go home. But my mom was such a wonderful lady, man. Every time I think about her and I look at her picture through all these radio shows, I mean, she's just staring right at me. And I feel for everybody in guardianship because, you know, the elderly people, they have no idea what's going on. And some of them are brainwashed and they're so easily misled.
And I think it's a disgrace that people have to take our elderly folks, put them into a nursing home with a monitor, put them behind closed doors and lock them up. I mean, I probably keep exposing these stories for the rest of my life because this should not be happening in America. This should not be happening at all. So tell me, when is the last time you saw your mother?
I saw her on Friday. So I get to see her in a window visit one time a week. So
because of COVID?
Yeah. Yeah, allegedly because of COVID. The positivity rate is like 10.4, and it has to be at 10% or lower and no incidences in that facility for them to open for indoor visits. But the point is, why is she even in there? Why are they keeping her in there? If she doesn't want to be there, I will take care of her, and you know, so it makes no sense.
So is that?
And she almost died.
Yeah, you said earlier that she makes about $4,000 a month, and that's on Social Security. Is that Social Security?
That is actually my father's pension, who passed away on December 30th, 2018. Since he never remarried, my mom ended up getting his pension. He was a teacher and a pharmacist, and my mom had her retirement and her pension. So those all total equal about $4,000 a month.
So that's probably the motivation why she's there. Because if you take, you know, 10, 15 people, 20 people, 100 people, and you put them into a nursing home, and they pay for all those bills in there, yeah, the people that own that nursing home is going to make the money. You know, and I personally think that some of these attorneys or some of these real estate agencies or whoever is behind all this owns these companies, and they're making big money doing this. But,
yeah.
You know, and I have you ever researched anything like that, what's really going on behind the scenes? I mean, I know a lot of people have been doing that lately.
I have researched, but it's just mind-blowing sometimes. And, I guess I need to research back to where the money is at. But it seems like, you know, a lot of it's just healthcare fraud, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think a lot of it is healthcare fraud. I agree with you 100%. So whatever happened to your mom's possession?
My mom's house was sold to the Catalyst for this and their family member, and they got everything inside the home as well. So, which I don't, you know, I don't really, my whole point is, you know, that was her house she worked hard for and her things, and it's just wrong that it was taken from her.
Yeah, I agree there. So have they ever sent you any accounting or anything like that, or do they not do that either?
No. Oh, no, they haven't. They haven't sent any accounting. It was supposed to be done by the end of January, so I'm hoping we get to see what's going on with that. But it's weird because the house was sold back on December 30th of 2019. But all of a sudden I got a filing saying that it was, I don't know if it was sold again or what's going on with it, but I got another sale. I don't know. It's just weird. I have to look into that a little bit closer. But I do want to say, you know, regarding to family, that I love my family very much, and I'll always love them even though they've made mistakes. We all have. But this has been a terrible, sobering experience, and I don't wish it upon anyone. I hope that people realize that you always have more working together as a family than attacking each other and doing something like this and putting your loved ones in a situation like this. It should never happen.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that.
but unfortunately some family members just don't get along. That's why I encourage people that if you have any arguing family members, don't even do no trust. Don't do any of those wills because they're not gonna help you in the long run. You know, all they're going to do is, of course, they're going to find out how much money you have, and before you know it, your property is taken, like my family. You know, so
yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you, though. You know, family needs to get along, but in most circumstances, that doesn't happen. And
we always did get along. I mean, it was like a switch went off over all this stuff and over my mom's house. And the sad part is these people, these family members were going to get the house anyway. Me and my other siblings already agreed to it. So they paid more for it doing it this way than they would have if they would have just worked as a family and worked together and not bullied us and did what they wanted to do to get what they wanted.
Right. Oh, my gosh. And this all comes down to the consequences of your mother being put into a place that that just messed with her health so bad. Do you know if your mom's ever been drugged or anything like that? Because I know in a lot of these nursing homes, they...
Absolutely.
They
I have the list.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I have a long list of medications. She is on Depakote, Namenda, Exelon Patch, Ativan, Benadryl. And I know the Benadryl and the Depakote interact in a negative way, you know, and decrease your cognitive abilities. I did find that out. So, and like I said a bit earlier, I reported that she was being over-medicated, and they just added medicines to her, the 3 Ativan to her per day in retaliation. So it's just terrible.
So what does it look like with this attorney? I mean, does he feel that you might be able to get her back? Does he feel like this might never happen? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that I will end up getting her back, I hope, before she passes away. I've been fighting for this for almost, actually, you know, probably over a year. But since the COVID, I've been trying to get her out of there. And so it's going, in March it'll be a year. But I want to make sure that everyone knows that I'm paying the attorney fees myself. I'm not using any of my mom's money or anything like that. I have no access to her money. I just want to put that out there. So.
Right. Yeah, the guardians, and they have the money. They do all that. But I'm trying to figure out what they use the money for anyway, because if you're put into a nursing home, you know, the state takes most of that money, and they allow them about $80 a month, but where's the rest of the money? You know, what do they do? What do the guardians do with all that money? I mean, they're definitely, were they going to buy her a pair of underwear that's, you know, $100 underwear? Or what do they do with that? You know, and you're not allowed to have the accounting. So where does all that money go? That's a big question that I want to talk to other people about. I mean, Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
That's a good question. I do. When I went to the courthouse and got some of the documents, and, you know, this isn't big money. Some people think it's a lot of money. Some people don't. But they, you know, a lot of the money was going to their fees and, you know, their attorney fees. Basically, they were just, I mean, what I figured they were charging her at the time was like a little over $1,000 a month. For what? What are you doing for her? Why are you even getting any money? She doesn't need, she's in a nursing home, so.
Yeah, and why is she even there if there's a family member that's well qualified that wants to take care of their loved one? And there should be no crime against that. I mean, I took care of my mom, you know, my sister and I took her, you know, my sister had her for a couple years and I had her for like 4 years. Before she was put into a nursing home because she wasn't able to walk and we couldn't lift her anymore. But, gosh, we were there every single day and night buying her purses and gifts and toys. And we were one of the best families, they said, that was ever at that nursing home. I mean, we just filled her full of love as much as we could, along with all the other residents, too. A neglectful nursing home. Why do they even have those nursing homes in the first place? That's neglectful. That's, you know, I just don't understand all this.
why they can't go in and take care of these nursing homes. Is it because they don't have enough money, enough staff? What is it that you know, do they not care for the elderly? I just don't understand why they're put in that position, you know,
well,
if they
can't
take care of our elderly, you know?
If
mm-hmm.
they put
ahead,
people
Rob,
in a nursing home for profit, at that point, that person is really not looked at as a human being. And it's a tragedy. My heart breaks as I tell you this truth. But they don't want to. They want to scrape off all the cream and drink most of the milk. They don't want to share. It's a kind of greed that is a disease of the mind, a disease of the heart that
mm-hmm.
these people suffer from. That they think that having more money is the path to success, is the path to, you know, and they spend their money on things like advertising what great lawyers and attorneys they are and how they're going to help the elderly, and getting elderly people to come in and lay out their finances and say, what do I need to do? And they'll say, well, don't you worry about it. We've got you covered. And the next thing you know, there's a knock on the door, because it's another asset that they can claim without having to go through the process of earning money. You just take the person, lock them up, claim the asset. Now this is my money, and I'll spend a little of it to try to keep you alive for a while. But as soon as it gets to sort of a game where most of the government funds have run out, most of the family funds have run out, maybe we'll give her back, or maybe we'll just kill her and make room for another one in the bed, because it doesn't matter, because these are the useless. These are the humans that we no longer value. These are the ones that family members aren't taking care of, Your Honor. These are the ones that don't have anybody to care for them, Your Honor. And Your Honor says, so be it then. We'll make sure that they're taken care of and put them in this nursing home, which I have an interest in, you know.
Right.
This is what's going on. That's
and
why
you need to really find out who is behind that nursing home and what's going on behind the scenes, because I think that will reveal a lot. I mean, you know, I looked into the nursing homes that my mom was in, and they were run by some pretty good people. I mean, we didn't have any problems with the nursing home my mom was in. They were actually really wonderful people. We were like one big family, and when my mom passed away, we were all kind of lost because we weren't going there. And it was really sad because we lost that family. But, you know, I hear all these stories on the radio show about how horrible some of these nursing homes, and I'm like, how could that be? My mom, we got guardianship of my mom. We had my mom. I got to stay with my mom while she was passing. I mean, my family had it good, even though we got all of our property stolen, like, you know, close to $5 million now in today's prices. But you know what? We got my mom back, and I think that's what really matters the most to me, is that I could come on these radio shows and tell the story of my mom and my dad and my family, and I could reach out to others and get other people talking about it, how this needs to stop, how that's our property. That was our intergenerational transfer of wealth. That was ours, but it's being stolen by these people. You know, you know, interlopers, Robin would call them, and that name sticks with me all the time. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead right now and pause for a second. I want to tell everybody that you're listening to Faceless Radio right now, and we have our co-host with us, Hillary Hoag. Marcy Friedman usually comes on once in a while. She's been awesome, everybody. Robin Austin is with us tonight, and myself, Loanne Fleming. I also want to let you know that our shows are archived, and we have like 250 of these shows on the Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. So if you want to ever go on there and listen to it, you can also hit follow, and that will remind you of our shows every Wednesday and Tuesday nights now. So just go to the Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio and hit follow. And I think we're going to start taking callers in probably in the next few minutes. And I've scheduled this show for an hour and a half, so we got another 40 minutes. So this brings it down to, I know that you want to get your mom out. What can we do as advocates to help you get your mom back? I mean, can we write letters? Do we not write letters? What do you think? I mean, talk to your attorney. I mean, what can we do?
I really don't know. I wish I had that answer to that. because I've been trying to get her out of there, and it just seems like we have to go. It's such a long, drawn-out process, and it shouldn't be, especially when someone's life is in danger. So I don't get it. I don't know if he, you know, if there's something I can think of, I will definitely let you know. But right now, I'm just fighting as hard as I can, and I know my attorney is as well. But back to what I just wanted to say something real quick about what Robin was saying. And one of my family members said, "What does mom need? What does she need? You know?" And it's like, I said, it doesn't matter what she needs or doesn't need. This is her property. This is her, what she worked for. You know, that's just a mind blowing comment to me. Like, I think it's hers, period. For her, you know, it's not your anyone's to take.
Yeah.
You know, that's exactly. I feel the same way you do because, you know, my parents worked for the property like yours did for 50 years and just came in and stole it. I mean, that's what they did. Call it what it is. You came in and stole it. And I don't care if the public administrator who had our trust is listening. She stole it, okay? She went ahead and gave it to everybody else. She didn't care what my family said. And the same thing is going on for all these families in Colorado, 65 of them now, and all of them across the nation are going through the same thing. I understand exactly what you're going through. I can feel you. And that's why I also want to leave a message for everybody. We did a radio show, I think it was a couple weeks ago, with Phil Ross. And there was a Shelley Thompson that came on, and they locked her up in a nursing home in Texas. We do have, I just sent them some money as well, and you can too, to Philip M. Ross. He's the trustee of Shelley Thompson, who is in a nursing home. So I sent her some money, my sister and I, but you can send them to her. And if you need to send them, if you want to, you can send me a check. I can make sure Phil Ross gets it, or you can just get a hold of me. And if you want to spend any money or anything to help her out, or a package of something for her, like writing equipment or whatever it is, talk to me first, and I will work that out with you if you want to do that. And that was for Shelley Thompson down in Texas. And so I just want to put that out there because I feel sorry for people that are up against their will.
That same note, I will just ring Allie's bell, not as many times as I should, but there is a victim in Brevard County, Russell Myers, who's in a fraudulent guardianship. We won't go through the specifics. He's only 37, but Allie, just the other day, one of many times that she's sent Russell a blanket, sent him a DoorDash card. So, I mean, not only is Allie trying to free her mother, she's not self-centered. She is also helping other victims, which is, it is really what the calling is all about.
Yeah.
It's not about my dad anymore or my mother. It is, but it's also about freeing other victims and helping them. So I really have to thank Allie profusely for what she's doing for her mother and also for people she's never even met in person.
Thank you so much,
Hillary.
Yeah, and I think, I think your determination, and I think that willing to get your mom back, we will be there to hear the good news when you do. I mean, and we've got some people freed out of guardianship, and it's just so wonderful to know that that's happening. Hillary's been working her butt off down there in Florida.
She has. She's amazing.
Good work out there, you know.
Well, you know what? There but for the grace of God go I, and it's not fast enough. We all know that. It's not, justice does not come fast enough. And when it comes, it's really mind-boggling because you're really not expecting it at that time. But it does, it takes a group of us, from Robin to you, Luann, to Allie, to Beverly Newman, to everyone, Kathy, you know, Stacy, everyone, and we've got to keep going because Elena, of course, my number one. They know who we are, and they don't like us, and they don't like us for one reason or two reasons. A, we're not getting paid for this. We want nothing but justice. And B, we are not going to stop. I have devoted the rest of my life. the madness.
Yeah, and you know what? Maybe we are the chosen ones to do that. I talk to Marcy Friedman all the time. She goes, I think I was chosen to come onto your radio show and talk about this. And I tell that to everybody. I think we're chosen. I don't know what else, why I had to go through this, but growing up as a child, never in my, I would never thought I would be a radio show host, never dreamed of having all of our property stolen, never dreamed about, you know, my mom would be in a guardianship. I didn't even know what it was, you know,
and I thought
it was a judicial system that was honest. And then I look at the Supreme Court here in Colorado, no wonder we're all screwed. No wonder.
Right.
They're paying $2.5 million to hide sex scandals at our Supreme Court. Think about it. Now you know
it's
why we have such a problem in Colorado. See?
Mm-hmm.
And you put all the twos and twos together, and this is what's going on, people. Now you know why everybody's getting screwed, because the judges are not held accountable. They found 20 of them out here not held accountable. They were sending sex tapes between the judges out here. There's something seriously wrong with this whole system. And I heard in Ohio, get me wrong, it's really filled with a lot and lots of guardianship cases. So is Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
It's like hot spots that are out there. I've heard
these
horrible stories from Ohio, you know, about many families that were taken into custody, basically, against their will.
Yeah. One of my friends was being banned from seeing her mom, and her mom died alone in a facility, you know, in June. And it's just heartbreaking. It's so senseless. It does not have to be this way. It shouldn't be this
way.
Yeah.
You know, so how is your mom now? I mean, are you able to, you know, talk to her? She knows who you are. She's coherent. What's going on with that?
She's never forgotten me, who I am.
Mm-hmm.
She always remembers me. She knows my voice, and she's always happy to hear from me. And she always asks when I'm coming to get her, or, you know, can I go home? I just want to go home. I don't like it here. I feel like I'm in prison. You know, she knows, but, you know, she's pretty strong to have endured 2 years of this. I can't even imagine.
Yeah,
so.
I know. And that's the same thing we interviewed Teresa Kennedy last weekend, where the sister was not able to see her other sister, her aunt, actually. She wasn't able to see the aunt, and the sister wasn't able to see her sister. And that went on for 4 years, and she died alone. And within a week or two before the sister died, the aunt died, they didn't even know she even died. I mean, can you imagine being away from your sister who you love for 4 years and not able to say hi or anything? I mean, that was a really tearful, very tearful story. And I just hate it that these stories we have to tell, you know, on a show to get people to understand mm-hmm. that this happened to you and your family.
What really
mm-hmm.
irks me, besides everything else, it's not like it happened like 1, 2, 3. Teresa Kennedy and her mother has been warning people for years about what has happened to her aunt and her sister. Nothing. All of these big agencies, you know, Department of Children and Families, Office of Public and Professional Guardians, they knew. And their go-to line, their tagline always is, the judge okayed it, so there's nothing that we can do. And that's malarkey. That is just garbage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just garbage. Hey, we're going to start taking in phone calls if you want to call in right now. And to do that, you call this number, 845-241-9962. You press a 1. 845-241-9962. You press a 1. And that will let us know that you have a question or a comment. So let's go ahead and take in some phone calls. We have a 440 number calling in. 440, you have a question or a comment.
I have a comment. I'm a part of the Ohio Coalition on Probate Corruption.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would just like to. My name's Elaine, and I'm friends with Hillary.
Hi,
and I've called in.
Hi, Hillary.
Hi,
Elaine.
Hi.
Hi,
and
Leah.
Elaine, can
thank
I just say something very, Elena, I'm going to cut
sure.
you off. Sorry, it's
go
what
ahead.
I do, cutting people off. Elena is a phenomenal activist slash advocate. She is selfless. She will help in Florida, in Alaska, in Kalamazoo, Ohio, and wants nothing other than to help victims of guardianship fraud and abuse. So we are more than lucky to have you as an advocate,
yes.
and thanks so much for calling.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, thank you, Hillary. You're amazing. I can't even speak enough to Hillary. She's just amazing.
Yeah.
We all joke in Ohio that we want to be like Hillary when we grow up.
I don't know about that, but I'll tell you something. It's so nice to have other advocates. I mean, I'll just text Allie or Elaine and say, listen, can you do this? Can you research this? Can you look on this case and tell me what you think? And they'll do it. So I really love the Ohio Coalition. I really do.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for interrupting you, Elena.
No, thank you, Hillary. We love you, too. More than tons and tons of bunches.
How about if Ohio picked up their own radio channel? How would that sound? There you go.
I thought about it.
Yeah.
And I think Alex thought about it. I think we've all thought about it. Maybe we will one
yeah.
day.
Well, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
I can continue. Jody White from Michigan, they just started their radio show about 3 weeks ago on Monday night. They have Jody White and Victoria McCasey, and they have Valerie Bonner, who was from Black Coffee, No Cream, No Sugar. And I tell you what, that is a bomb of
their
a show coming
on. Their show is good, yeah.
Their show is really good, and they have it all. It's just amazing what they've come. I mean, Jody only learned it like when a couple of weeks, she's like, wow. I mean, she's got all this going on. I'm like, wow. I mean, I've been on a couple of shows with her, guiding her, but they've got it going on. So if anybody needs to put a show up, I have like 5 extra days. So let me know. I mean, we have like Tuesday night, Thursday night. We also have Friday, Saturday. You can do Sunday. There's different times that you could put a show on, and you can put them on whenever you want. But it's a great way to reach out to people. It's a great way to get. It's a great way.
Luann will assist you until you feel comfortable. Elena, what were you going to say when you got on?
I just want to say working alongside Allie's amazing, and she will often, like, put her own case aside. I have to say that she won't even worry about hers. She's like, I just want this exposed. You know, she just wants, because she sees, we've all seen how in-depth this system is and how widespread and corrupt and how deep it goes and how people just don't know, you know. Mm-hmm. They just don't know what happens. And Allie sees that, and she's like, she always says, it's not about my mom. It's about everybody. And that's really
right.
commendable to Allie. I have to just say it's really commendable to her.
Yeah.
And I have to say, too, that what I want to say, too, and it goes to the system and the abusiveness of it and the corrupt and the powerful and the wealthy, is the owner of her nursing home, so many of us wrote into him, and he was unbelievably condescending, demeaning, any word you want to put on it, any label you want to put on it, he was a bully, and he tried to cut us all down. Anybody who said anything on Allie's mom's behalf, and we were all kind. We were not, you know, abrasive or rude or anything like that. We were all very nice. We're like, well, we're just writing in. Why, you know, asking about the ankle monitor, asking about, you know, a compassionate release for her. And he was like, I don't have time for idiots like you, was his response to me. I don't have time for idiots like you.
I'd be out there with time to not ask. Color do you want, red or green? I'd be saying. I always say that to people when I get mad at them. I'll say, what color do you want your picket sign, red or green? And they just look at me like, oh, no, you know. So tell me, how did you get involved with the guardianship, against guardianship abuse? How did you get involved?
Well, I've had situations personally with my grandmother, and there was a situation that we avoided guardianship with my grandfather in Florida. And, you know, more than any, well, my grandmother, it breaks my heart every day. Every day I have a picture of her here. She was, when I have people critiquing me all the time. Well, she wasn't raising you. Well, no, she didn't. My grandma didn't raise me from an infant or anything like that, but she was really present in my life, in my adult life. And she was, we talked every single day. So like the guilt I feel for what happened, I can't even go into that, but it was bad. It was bad. The whole thing is bad. And the bottom line is what Allie's saying is, and I think this is what we want to try to get across to everybody, is like, look past these issues. Try to look past the disagreements or the malfeasance of certain relatives and try to work together. Like, yeah. You know, it's better to work together than opposing each other. And that's mm-hmm. one thing Allie and I have talked about, you know, through and through, that it is so much better if you work together with people than if you work against each other. You know, it is. It just always works better.
Well, I'm glad you guys have each other out there in Ohio, though. And you were telling me that there's something like 30 or 40 families out there. Have you been in touch with?
Yeah, there's been numerous. 40, I think there's at least 40 plus families we're working
with. 50,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least, probably more, but we, you know.
And there's people that have dropped out because they get discouraged, you know, and it's easy to get discouraged.
Yeah.
And,
oh, I have that.
And I just want to bring
that.
Up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, and sometimes there's certain people that keep you motivated or keep you going and,
yeah,
you know,
yours.
Through it because it's hard. It's hard to stay on the mission. It is. It's really hard.
Yeah.
And then, you know, there's certain people that, like, help you on that. And then there's people who, like you guys were talking about, I Really Care a Lot, that's coming on Netflix February 19th. And then also I just watched the Britney Spears, the little clip.
How was that?
On Hulu. It was all right. But what I want to say is that the father – and this is what people say. Oh, they're crazy. I'm so sick of the crazy card. And this is what people have to understand. We are not crazy. There is no juries involved in this. It is all isolated. It is all it is all corrupt. It is all corrupt. People need to wake up and smell the coffee here. You know?
Yeah.
That it is really bad.
I hear
so
you 100% on that.
That is so true.
You know what? And it's kind of like Hillary keeps me going, and Marcy and Rob and I you know, I owe it all to them because there's been a couple of times where I'm like, why am I even doing this? Robin and I used to do radio shows when we first started, and we're like, is anybody even listening to us? And we would just giggle. We'd say, I don't know. Even if we reach out to one or two families, it's worth it to us. But, you know.
I listen to your show all the time.
You know what I always find?
Thank you.
I always find, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Robin. I always find when I get to a low point, something happens to keep me going.
Yeah.
And it's Robin last week or the week before when he said, and I just loved it when you said, you know, I would compare this, you know, the probate court to the Italian mafia, but I wouldn't want to insult the Italian mafia. I mean, just little things that we do or say, it keeps us going. And Robin, you were going to say something. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
That's all right. Thank you. Well, it truly is an organized crime organization that is a massive cabal of individuals who have banded together to create generational wealth by stealing it from people through this avenue of exploiting the weak, helpless, and those that can be portrayed as weak and helpless in the courts, and take their power so that they become weak and helpless in the face of the cruel oppression of these dictators, these monsters. And really, I'm not using the wrong word. I'm not going to apologize for calling them monsters, because this is monstrous. What is happening is psychopaths. is sociopaths. The court is like one giant institutionalized sociopath that has figured out a way to lie, cheat, steal, rob, kill, and get away with all of it and enrich themselves massively.
Yeah.
Through that process. When you said it's in Ohio, I wanted to jump in and say, and Florida, and New York, and California, and Las Vegas, and Michigan.
Yeah.
And, you know,
amen.
All
amen,
of these
Robin.
States,
amen.
All of these places have the same tentacles of the same cabal, this organized crime cabal that is at these high levels of our government. We're talking about the judicial branch in Colorado. It's come out that the Supreme Court of Colorado was very much involved in this corruption.
Scam.
And that they had
yeah.
to pay $2.5 million to cover it up before somebody filed a lawsuit that detailed the abuses. You know, this is something, these abuses are happening worldwide, nationwide, citywide, statewide, all over the place. And only rarely is there something that comes up that says, hey, everybody, look, this is what's going on, because they're making a point of hiding it, because they don't let the family mm-hmm. in to see the person that's being tortured every day, because they don't let anyone in. You know, oftentimes family members are imprisoned for trying, valiantly striving to rescue their loved ones from the clutches of these court predators that have taken over their lives and are destroying their lives and are profiting wildly while they rob the family of all of their inheritance, all that the parents have worked all their lives to offer to their children, you know, and the money
mm-hmm.
of the children that are trying to defend their parents from this attack.
Mm-hmm.
They, all of that goes out the window, and the reputations of those who stand up and speak out are attacked both in court, in the media, to legislators, to everyone. You know, if you're an activist in this, then you know that they will come after you personally. They will attempt to humiliate you publicly. They'll attempt to humiliate you privately. They'll attempt to oppress you as well, because they don't want you to take away their big paycheck every month from the thousands of people that they have enslaved and are exploiting mm-hmm. in a human trafficking racket that is authorized and authorized and empowered by the head of that court that is the judge, who's allowing it, who's encouraging it, who's permitting it, and who is just as culpable as all of the people that are actually doing the crimes.
Right. And I tell you what, I could give you a whole bunch of, you just look under, when you get off this radio show, just look under, you know, the Colorado Supreme Court and all the discrimination and all the stuff that's going on in Colorado. And these are the head Supreme Court that's doing all these shenanigans. It's like, now that's telling you something there. I mean, it's mind-boggling that it's finally
mm-hmm.
coming out there, though. I'm really grateful that this is all being exposed, and I'm hoping more gets exposed, and I can't wait for it. I've been here all day long going, yay, yay, all day long. Anyway, let's bring on another caller. We have a 303 area code. 303, you have a question or a comment?
Hello, this is David Lulu.
Hey, David.
How are you?
Yeah, hi, you have a question or a comment?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. You know the story on my friend Pat. I don't want to go into that. That would
right.
be a 10-hour show. But what about picketing these nursing homes and getting the public out there to show them that? Would you want your mother in this nursing home when she's perfectly capable of deciding where she wants to live, and she has a daughter that's capable of taking care of her? This is disgusting.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's a reasonable question. I mean, I would be doing something. I mean, if they had my mom like that, we did that in front of the judicial system, why not a nursing home? I agree with you. What do you guys think? Anybody?
Yes,
Hillary?
I think that the...
I agree.
Yeah. I think that
okay,
the,
go ahead, Robin.
I think that the act of public protest is a powerful voice. If we can get people together to go to a facility like this, and you have to check with your laws, you have to check with the police. You have to, you know, stay on the public sidewalks. You can't actually block the sidewalks, but you, you know, and you want to make sure and check the laws in your jurisdiction. But you get out with signs and with voices, and you talk to people that are coming in and going out. You're going to get a lot of dirty looks. People are not going to be happy that you're there. They may call the police on you. You may have to discuss with the police the fact that you've checked, that you've gotten whatever necessary permits there are, the fact that you're in alignment with the laws of the state, that you're not doing anything that's illegal. And still, you face the possibility that you might be asked to leave, you might be arrested, you know, because the corruption doesn't end. There's no hard line. Sometimes the police are willingly party to this. Sometimes they are simply enforcing laws that come down from a judge that says, you know, clear those people out of here. So ordered,
right.
I'm a
misled.
Judge. And
yeah.
So they believe that they're acting in accordance with the law. But again, that just makes them agents of the criminal cabal that rules the courts through that judge, and that judge is just as corrupt as any of them, you know, to be issuing
right.
a warrant for someone for doing something that is perfectly legal, but it is an effective way to communicate your displeasure about what is going
right.
on in a venue like that. We did it outside of the courts, and in Colorado there was a judge that stepped down a long time before he actually needed to, and it was, I believe, the public pressure that we brought to bear by holding some large demonstrations with lots of people with signs talking about what was going on in those courts and little clever slogans that said, you know, things
yes.
things about the probate court that opened up the fact that it is not honest, that it is, you know, that they're robbing people. And
it does cause
roaches don't like the light. If you turn on the light, the roaches scurry. Well, when you bring light to these people, they're not going to like it. And sometimes that's an effective way to exert some pressure that is difficult to exert in any other way.
Exactly, Robin. I always like the words that you use, you know, like what you just said. I just love it. I just love the way you talk about this. Anyway, Dave, that's a really good question, and I agree with you. I think picketing is a really good idea, and I think getting, you know, to talk to the cops before you do it and make sure that you're not picketing in an area you shouldn't be and get okayed. We got okayed when we did it in front of the Supreme Court. We got okayed when we did it in front of the courthouse. We had okayed to do everything, so we were in good depth, you know, good time, and we also got the judge to step down. So I just want to say that it is powerful to do that as long as you do it the correct way. And if you need to know how to make a sign, call me. I'll send you some signs how we made ours. I mean, three words, you're done,
but,
you know, with a little bit of board and a little bit of,
any,
you know, stuff, yeah.
Don't
anyway.
Put yourself in any position where you're taking any unnecessary risk. There's, you know, you calculate the risks. There is risk. When you raise
right.
your voice out in public and say, this is what's going on, there's risk. People don't like it. You know, you might get a drink thrown at you. I've had that happen, you know.
Yeah.
And you'll get some dirty looks from the people that are perpetrating the crimes, for sure. But if we're willing to stand up and take those calculated risks that say, I think I'm going to be okay, even if I have to face some opposition here, I'm going to stand up and speak my mind because I have to, because it's the right thing to do, because my heart won't let me just back down or say, oh, I'll let it slide. I just can't do that.
Right.
So I'm standing up to speak about it. And when you're willing to do that, you can sometimes get results.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, do you think one day I could do a story with Pat? You think? Maybe we should talk
Pardon
about
me?
It. Maybe one day we should do a story on Pat.
Oh, I tell you, it's just really crazy what's going on with him.
I know.
Would be so cool to let some of these people know how these people are living. It's just, it's a
yeah.
crying shame, but it's all about the almighty dollar, and that's what makes me sick.
Yeah. And we talked about his case before, and it is something else, but there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes in Colorado that I'll talk to you about. That's going on right now. So it'd be interesting if we could get him up onto our show. That'd be excellent one day.
Okay.
He's got that
right.
very powerful story. But thanks for calling in, Dave. I'll be in touch with you.
And I'll be
but
in touch with you as the show goes on.
Yeah, good.
He has an extremely powerful story. Yeah, thank you, Dave. He has a very story about a guy named Pat out here in Colorado that he was making like $2,400 a month or something like that, and these guardians out here were giving him $60 a week to live off of, telling him that he was such a hoarder or whatever they said he was, that they couldn't give him any food, they couldn't give him this, they couldn't give him that because he had diabetes, all kinds of excuses. But this is a very powerful story I'd like to get out as well. So here's a 720 number. Question or comment? 720?
Go ahead. Is that me?
Yeah, that's you. Do you have a question or comment?
I was wondering about Rick Black's Zoom meeting today. Did anybody catch that?
Actually, that was a very, very powerful we got Rick Black was doing a speech, and we combined Robin Austin's speech, I think it was, and Rick Black's, and Rick and them came up with a powerful, powerful speech that Marilyn Runner, she's one of our advocates out here, she came on and she went in front of the Supreme Court today and actually did that speech, and it was the Supreme Court justices, they're already under scrutiny, just looked at her like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is going on. You could just see them like crawling underneath their desk, you know, looking like that. They're already under scrutiny.
Luann, why wasn't anyone told about this? I didn't have any idea.
Well, there's so much going on here in Colorado. I barely got the information from these people myself. I mean, I'm telling you what was going on. Anyway, Marilyn was working, you know, with Rick, and then I had to send her this paperwork. I got blasted on it. But as soon as I get the clippings to that, we will go ahead and get that out there for everybody.
Thank you.
You posted live on your site. That'd be awesome. I just got that information yesterday. I was doing a bunch of things today. I kind of missed it because I couldn't see. I don't normally check my email, but I was really interested in that. Does that back up what happened in the Colorado Supreme Court?
They didn't even send me the information on that Colorado Supreme Court till just right before it aired, you know. So it was like, and Marilyn, I'd say she did a really good job explaining the story, and I'll send you the speech that it was. I think it's a very powerful speech, and anybody could use it, just turn it around. But it's a very powerful speech, and it comes from two of our really top advocates, you know, Rick Black and Robin Austin. I mean, gosh, there are some magnificent writers in this whole thing. But she did it in front of the Supreme Court, so I'll send that out to whoever wants that. It's excellent.
Yeah.
Anyway,
awesome.
If it's the way that Robin portrays exactly how it goes on, and Robin, you're spot on. Thank you, because you get us right back into the direction through the right. You turn on a light, and the cockroaches scatter. But do we have a basis of what was it about? Was it exactly what, you know, what Robin portrays at every night of one of your radio shows?
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the speeches that Robin wrote out in front of the Supreme Court, and he had the whole place standing up, giving him an ovation, standing up, clapping for him when he got done with the speech. That's how powerful it was. Well, we combined that today with Rick Black's speech, and it's very good. I'll send it to you guys. You guys can look over it. But I thought it was excellent. Marilyn did a really good job in front of the Supreme Court. They just looked at her like, oh, my God. So we got to do some follow-up paperwork with that, but with all this breaking news coming out, with the Judicial Integrity Project as well, and he was just on the news too, Chris Forsythe. So we've been, he's been on our radio show as well. He's been putting this in front of the Supreme Court for a long time, how we need a change, and today they actually interviewed him, and a lot of legislators are for the first time thinking we have a problem. You guys think we've been doing this for 5 years, you know? Come on. We have a problem. So, yeah, that was really exciting news to get all that. So, yeah, Hillary, I'll send you all that information. Sorry I forgot, you know.
No,
I've been
that's
everywhere.
Fine.
Yeah, no,
God.
I've been.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been
I'd like to have that speech combined with Rick to, you know, just to get back on track and have the right thing, you know, have the vernacular with the court to understand, you know, and compulsory evidence and all that kind of stuff. But I really do appreciate, you know, you,
yeah.
Luann, and Robin, and Rick Black. You know.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
with that
online
email that we
book.
Sent in there, should we send our stories to, was it Denver Post? I think it was the Denver Post writer that
yeah.
started with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, David
and everybody
Nagoya.
Else should send their stories to.
Yeah, his
yeah,
name is
Nagoya.
David Nagoya, and I'm actually writing a letter up with Robin right now that we're going to be sending him some information. So his name is David Nagoya. He's from the Denver Post. But, yeah, if you want to talk to him about anything, I would keep the story very short. I mean, like, no more than a paragraph, you know. And we'll do it that way, okay? I wouldn't send in a lot of things. I wouldn't send in a whole bunch of stuff. And let me look over it before you send it to him, in fact, okay?
Okay. Anybody have actual contact with David Nagoya?
Yes, I'm working on it. Tomorrow I'm spending a whole 2 days at home working on all this stuff. So I'll let everybody know what's going on. But if you want to send something in to him and give him a heads up, like I said, keep it short. But I'm working on it with Robin right now and Rick Black. I got to talk to Rick Black and Robin. And like today, I've been on the phones all day long over this and I'm just really glad that we had our guest on tonight. Anyway, I'll be back in touch with you later, and I'll talk to you more about it. But we want to get back to our guest and make sure that we want to ask Allie, you know, before we go, what she wants and what does she see in the future? I mean, do you think you're going to get your mom back?
I'm hoping so. I'm fighting hard to get her back, and that would make me so happy, you know, to
yeah.
care for her. And I know she would be happy. So, you know, I just want her to live out her days, the rest of her life, in peace and be comfortable. So
yeah.
that's my wish for her.
Yeah. So do you think that I'm just really hoping that you're going to have to keep in touch with us and let us know what happens, you know, if she does. We want to do that on our radio show. We definitely, you know, want to get this out there that, you know, stick along and work with it because you can, you know, get your mom back. You can, you know, see them before you die. I mean, it's just, I know that some of the cases that's just not the case, but like Hillary and Robin and all of us are here for everybody. So just let us know what happens. And I'm not going away anytime soon. And I'm sure Hillary and Robin and the rest of us all feel the same way about keeping these
yeah.
radio shows going. And if you know anybody else that has a story that wants to come on, or if they have any attorneys that want to come on or any Supreme Court justices or whatever, come on, let us know so we can talk to them. And if you want to get your attorney on, too, as well, to talk about what's in file, we welcome anybody to come on to our show. You can contact me at Faceless Radio, and that's Families Against Court Embezzlement and Ethical Standards, Faceless. We're up on Facebook. You can ask to join that, and you'll be able to, you know, get all the information. We also have Hidden Truth Revealed on Blog Talk Radio. You can see our postings on there. So how can anybody get a hold of you? Either one of you out there in Ohio, in case they have with their family members, how can they do that?
We have been going through the AAAPG, right, Hillary?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
They can contact them, and that's how we've been, that people have been getting, doing their intake
right.
through there.
Yes, or
isn't that Americans Against? Okay, go ahead and say it's AAPG. What does that
yeah.
say for again? My head's like swimming. I tell you,
Americans
Against
Predators,
Probate Guardians. Yeah, yeah.
I will give you my phone number. My name is Hillary Hogue, and my telephone number is 239 239-682-4249. My email is hillahg@aol.com. You can call or email me any day, any time.
Yep.
And I will contact the Ohio Coalition.
Yeah, that's good.
Luann, I have their phone number.
Yeah. Oh, you do? You have a phone number?
Yeah, it's Americans Against Abusive Probate Guardianship. And they have an 800 number, which is 855-913-5337. Or you can email them at info@aaapg.net.
Yeah, that's it. Yep, they've done some of that. That's with Dr. Sam Sugar. He started that many years ago. I went to him, you know, like about 5 or 6, 7 years ago, and he helped us get, Kelly Schmoll-Garrett helped us get our Faceless Radio, Faceless organization up on the screen and websites and all that. So we got to know Dr. Sam Sugar, and they're pretty good at what they do. And there's also Rick Black, and you can also listen to, like, the Marty Oakley show. She has a lot on guardianship abuse, and you can reach out to NASGA as well. We have one of their commercials that we play in our radio show. Anyway, I just want everybody to know that you've been listening to Faceless Radio. We are here on Wednesday nights. You can look at all of our shows that we have done on guardianship abuse, probate courts, whatever, you know, with adult guardianship abuse cases, you name it. We've done it for about almost 5 years now, over 5 years. So I want to make sure that justice requires transparency and accountability, and giving up is not an option. And we want to thank our guests for coming on tonight. Allie, I can't say enough about you and the work that you're doing out there, and we hope that you get your mom back. There's nothing as precious as your mom, nothing. Your mom and dad, you know, your family, your loved ones. So,
right.
Thank you
so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you, too, for coming on. I guess that's it for our radio show. Join us here on Wednesday nights, everybody. And also on Tuesday nights, you got Michigan Probate Radio coming on. And I will keep everybody informed on the websites up on Facebook about what's going on with Colorado Supreme Court. And if you have anything that you want to put on there, I will go ahead and approve that for you all if you want to post something up in there. But thank you to my co-hosts for joining us tonight, Robin Austin and Hillary Hoag, and myself, Luann Fleming. Anyway, good night, everybody. We're going to go ahead and go now. We will talk to you next
night. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
Okay.
God bless us, everyone.
Night. Love you all.
Did you know that elders and others are losing their rights to liberty and property? Anyone can petition a court to have a person deemed incapacitated. What if that person is you? The adult guardianship system was created to protect incompetent people and their assets. A court-appointed guardian, sometimes a total stranger, can force you into a nursing home and sell your home to pay for services. Treasured belongings can disappear as you are drugged and isolated from loved ones. Why does this happen? Unfortunately, the courts don't have the funding to supervise and audit cases. A guardian makes all decisions on your behalf, taking control of your assets with little accountability. The potential for abuse is frightening. Luckily, not all guardians exploit those under their care, but when they do, there's really nowhere to go for help. The National Association to Stop Guardian Abuse, NASGA, is working to reform adult guardianship to return it to its once noble purpose of protecting the human rights to life, liberty, and property and ending financial exploitation of assets. Are you or your loved ones protected? To learn more, visit stopguardianabuse.org.